FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome, and you are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and it is August 27th, 2018. Well, hey, what can you say? What can you say about a country with what's going on here now? Go deeper and deeper into debt, and nobody seems to care about it. The rest of the world is imploding. Developing markets, developing countries are seeing cataclysmic currency events, and nobody seems to be worried about it. Is it a cause to worry, or are we just overstating, you know, the importance of little things like a country's currency value? Well, our good friend is here with us now, Chris Martinson. First, though, be a part of the show. Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com. We answer all. I'm not too far behind now, considering I just moved over the weekend, but we're catching up. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks, Kerry. It's good to be back with you and all your listeners today.
Hey, so we got all these currency events taking place on a scale never before seen in the world, and yet nobody seems to be that worried about it.
Well, I don't know why. You know, trouble always starts from the outside in. Emerging markets are the places you would expect to see the first effects of a liquidity retraction. Because come on, who doesn't know? Who in this day and age doesn't know that the entire gains in the stock markets and bond markets have been due to central bank printing? So what would you expect when they finally slow down that printing? Well, you'd expect, you know, the same thing you'd see if a Saturn V rocket ran out of fuel halfway off the launch pad. You know, you'd see that thing start to slow down in its vertical ascent, begin to stop, nose over, and come back down to the launch pad. So that's what I think we're seeing out there at the emerging market side is just what happens when that liquidity flood tsunami finally begins to ebb a little bit, and the early returns are not encouraging, except in the U.S. markets, where all-time highs, you know, that's supposed to be the be-all, end-all salve and correction for all other ills in the world. Yes, it's really that shallow at this point in time. That's what we're left with.
And even in China, their markets are blowing up. And then we see gold take a major hit and silver. You know, gold was under 1,200 for a week. Silver is still under $15 the ounce. You know, is this ever going to change here for precious metals, or are we just going to, is this our lives here?
Well, to be clear, you know, I had a great interview with Brian London. He runs the New Orleans Investment Conference, mm-hmm. and writes the Gold Newsletter. And anyway, he's been following this stuff for a very long time. He agreed with me that gold and silver are manipulated, but so are almost every other market out there at this point in time. So if you want to see the same sort of stop running, lack of price discovery, price movements that you see in gold and silver, I can show them to you in a dozen other commodities. I can show them to you in individual stock shares. I can show them to you in the broader stock markets. I can show them to you in things like the treasury market. It's everywhere. So we have markets that are of, by, and for the machines. The machines are held and owned by the most connected insiders on Wall Street. Hop, skip, and a jump from there to the largest ever wealth and income gaps in history. It's not hard to understand, Kerry. We have broken markets that are run. Really, it's rigged. They're all rigged. They're just rigged. And they're not rigged for your benefit. To the extent that your own individual retail portfolio is going up is a happy accident. But trust me, when they decide, they, in air quotes, decide to pull that plug, you will find that they have doorways available to them to exit that you do not. You know, welcome Charlie Brown to trying to kick the football one more time. Wall Street's Lucy in this story, and everybody else except them happens to be Charlie Brown.
Yeah, well, so at some point this rigging presumably can't go on forever, can it? I mean, how much longer is it going to be? I mean, is this our new reality, or is it just kind of transitional?
Well, it's gone on a lot longer than anybody thought, myself included. It really shows the power of deception, self-deception, delusion, all that other stuff. You know, bubbles are really self-reinforcing phenomenon. Somebody was just telling me, you said there was a double top in the NASDAQ back in 2016, and look at it now. And it's true, there was. I had to point out gently to this individual that, well, that's true, but 2016 and 17 saw the largest amount of monetary printing by the big five central banks of the world in the entire series. They were telling us how everything's getting better. They saw that double top in the world equity indices and they freaked out. Remember, we also had emerging market difficulties back then, if people care to recollect. Late 2015, early 2016, January 2016 was a complete mess and magically turned around one night early in February. And that's been off to the races ever since with a couple blips. We had a little Brexit blip. We had this little thing called the Trump election. Again, two more moments when we saw tons more liquidity get dumped in. So here's the bottom line to get all the way back to your question. Does this ever end? Look, we saw after Brexit that 50,000, not 50,126, 50,000 on the dot contracts for gold were dumped in the first few minutes after the surprise Brexit vote came through because gold was spiking. Can't have that. That sends the wrong signal. That tells people they, air quotes, don't have everything under control. So that was a clear market manipulation event. When I was talking with Brian London, he said, yeah, I remember back 2013, gold is sort of bouncing along at the 1500 mark. Hmm. All of a sudden we saw the equivalent of 100,000 contracts get sold off in the next few minutes. The position limit for any one trader, theoretically on the CFTC, is 3,000 contracts. So did we have 33 random, entities out there suddenly decide they were going to max out their position limits, or do position limits not apply at certain times to certain entities? We don't know because the CFTC never investigated that event. They said there was no evidence of fraud. So what was there to investigate? Right.
Nothing.
So what are you going
to
do
here?
So, does it end? It has to at some point, of course. And the bigger they come, the harder they fall. That's the concern here. I think they've set us up for a spectacular, if not dangerous, if not deadly, collapse at some point in the future.
Yeah, I think it could be cataclysmic for sure. And nobody seems prepared for it, do they?
No. It's just everything's sort of rigged and fraudulent. And that includes our own voting machines here in the United States. I just get annoyed now when people talk heartfeltedly about Russian meddling, or the New York Times pens a piece and says Putin's, showing a disregard for American democratic institutions and our democratic processes are being undermined. I'm like, listen, honey, if you don't have them to begin with, they can't be undermined. So we don't have a democracy. Votes don't matter, unless you happen to live in a state where you actually have hand counting as an available option. Then we get exit polls that match and results that are statistically valid and within parameters that we would expect. But otherwise, mm-mm. And nobody cares. Neither party. Nobody's making any stink about that. Nobody. Nobody.
There's only one party. That's the Uniparty. But you're starting to sound a little bit conspiratorial, like somebody who just got banned from virtually every social media platform out there, except for, interestingly enough, Twitter. So first they came for Alex Jones.
Well, it's interesting. I just put out a video on this showing the data, just saying, hey, if you believe in election integrity, and you should, here's some data to show that we don't have it. Right. And, I've got whatever, close to 18,000 followers on Twitter. I think I had one person like it. So whenever I put something out and it just has a complete chirping cricket sound, I know I've been shadow banned. And that's interesting because, Twitter, and this also happened on Facebook, those two platforms have been promoted in the media as exercising their corporate right to, display their bias, if you will. And it's left leaning, but it's not, because, when I'm pointing out that our elections are flawed, you would think the left would jump on that and say, well, somehow, mysteriously, the election got thrown towards Trump there. 10:30 at night that Tuesday, November 3rd, 2016, it was in the bag for Hillary. Next thing you know, 10:35, it wasn't. What happened? I would think they would be interested in that, but that's not the case. And this just reveals in this particular example that Facebook, Twitter, all those, they are not there representing the left. And this has nothing to do with left versus right. You put it well, Kerry. It's the Uniparty. When I come in with a piece of evidence that says this thing is rigged, chirping crickets. Like, it just doesn't get any traction. I got nothing on Facebook. I got nothing on Twitter. It's like I threw this video out into the void, you know, and nothing happened. So this is what we see now. And, you know, when you say the conspiratorial thing, I am an absolute 100% conspiracy theorist when I have the data to back me up. And this is data. I show you statistics. It's great. We're violating the central limit theorem. I can show you how improbable the results are. Yeah. I can show you case after case where when you divide up a given state into two different regions, one with hackable voting machines, one without, same state, same election, same electorate, and you get two entirely different results depending on whether or not you have hackable voting machines in those districts. It's just, it couldn't be more clear cut, right? Easy stuff.
It's simple, easy statistics. It's all statistics. You don't even need a and probability, but mostly statistics. You just have to look at the numbers. You see they don't fall out into the normal distribution, the bell curve, which is racist anyway. But hey, they don't. And, you know, I heard Roger Stone prior to the election say that in Wisconsin, they hadn't had an honest election in 10 years. That they're constantly rigged. And when I heard him say that, then I realized once, Reince Priebus took over, that Trump was going to win Wisconsin no matter what. And then when I saw that he had taken away basically the Republican Party, the National Party took away Ohio from Kasich, he was no longer free to manage it any longer. I knew that Trump was going to win those states. There was never a question. I don't know whether they're rigged or not, but I think that this election really wasn't a battle of the voters. I think it was a battle of the riggers. And I think the black hats were working for Hillary and the white hats, if you will, were working for Trump. And we'll never know. That's the thing. You absolutely cannot tell. But there's just anomalies in the patterns that make sense.
Let's talk about that one then. So Wisconsin, I happen to have some data right in front of me. It was one of the things I pulled up in this video, and I pointed it out. There's, you know, you can look at these. It's a plot, right? And so what we're looking at is the percent of total that's going to each candidate. Mm-hmm. And if it's a fair election, you see that there's a little wiggle in that line. It sort of has some heart palpitations because the early returns are coming in and you don't have that many to go by. But then it pretty quickly settles down. And if it's a fair election, it settles into a flat line. That's called the central limit theorem. What we're doing is the more data we gather, the more we converge on a mean. Right? Simple stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what you see in Racine County, Wisconsin, in the 2016 presidential general election is Clinton actually starts out with 70% of the vote, up to about 20,000 votes are cast. And then her line just wobbles down and Trump's line just goes, you know, up like almost with a ruler under it. And so between 20,000 and 90,000 votes, it goes from 70-30 Clinton to Trump to 51-48 Trump over Clinton. Right. Mm-hmm. So that alone, like, hey, maybe there's some other explanation for this. But if we lived in an honest, fair election sort of an environment, you would say, great, let's just pull out the paper ballots and let's count them by hand. Now, when that happens, you see stuff like we saw in the primaries between Clinton and Sanders. And by the way, I think the DNC shot themselves in the foot by throwing the primaries towards Hillary and screwing Bernie. I don't know why Bernie jumped on that bandwagon, has just been toting the party water ever since.
Let me explain that. Let me explain this to you. Okay.
Yeah.
Bernie was a dupe. His purpose in the election, he was put up to run by the party. All right. Because while Hillary and Bernie are running against each other, Hillary doesn't have to take any criticism or give Trump any attention, anything that he's saying about her being a thief, all of this. Bernie was put in there to lose. No one ever thought the guy had a chance because, look, he's an idiot for one thing. He's totally out there, dyed-in-the-wool, you know, red diaper baby, complete socialist, collectivist, whatever. He never had a shot, but she was such a horrible candidate that all of a sudden Bernie woke up one day and said, my God, I can win this thing. I can't believe it. I could win. And all of a sudden, he became a real candidate and broke his retainer with the Clinton campaign. Because, look, elections where there's no opposition aren't elections. It's very boring to watch Obama just get the nomination with no opposition. So Bernie was a dupe. He was there to lose, but one day he figured out he could win, and then he really went after her, but not really, because he would never talk about the email, the server, any issues about Hillary. And he broke his deal, and then at the DNC, if you noticed, he looked like he had been roughed up. He had like bruises on
that.
His face.
Bruises.
I guess he fell down the stairs, you know? Right?
That happens. So, and, somebody ought to Photoshop Hillary in a wife beater. Something happened. But listen, but here's how obvious it is.
So I think
you're right in many respects. And so Bernie all of a sudden goes, hey, maybe I could do this, right? So let me tell you about one little piece of evidence that I threw up in this video. And to me, this is just prima facie. We're done. No more discussion needed. So 8 counties in Kings County, New York, where Sanders and Clinton are running against each other. And right. So in 8 different counties where they, you know, you fill out your little sheet of paper with a little bubble thing, you fill in the bubble and you put it into the optical scanner, right? And that thing's supposed to read it and tell you, it's very easy, just simple technology. It should be 100% accurate, right? And so what they found is they actually went back in and they hand counted 8 of these counties. You know what they found in all 8 of those counties?
He won them.
The hand count showed higher vote totals for Sanders than the machine gave him. And Hillary, in every single case, the hand count showed lower vote totals than what the machines gave her.
I'm
8 out of 8. Sorry, we're done here. That's fraud. It's election rigging. That's that. So if the DNC wants to understand why people are so, you know, this whole thing deflecting to Russian meddling was just to get the heat, just to put it somewhere else. It's the classic psychological projection. I'm going to make my deepest sin your biggest flaw, right? Mm-hmm. Russia had nothing to do with that. Russia wasn't busy in there like, you know, dicking around with the optical scan machines in Kings County, New York in 2016. Stop.
Yeah, Putin's agents were there. The no good nicks were rigging our election the
but
whole time,
you know,
right
fraud.
Under
it's
our
like,
noses.
Here's how you know it's rigged, right? What did Bernie say about that afterwards, right? He's got access to people who can, you know, look at that and go, Bernie, every time we hand count, you do better, right?
Yeah.
Like, where was he coming out and saying, full stop? You know, people who are following me, this is a rigged system. Here's the data. I'm not moving another inch forward until this is addressed. These people are corrupt. That needs to be addressed. He didn't do any of that.
Nope. And that's because that wasn't his job. His job was never to win. You have to realize that this was a scam, a fraud upon the electorate. And only when he realized what a horrible candidate she was, and that even in a rigged system, she still was having trouble. That's when he went on the offensive and gave his socialist message. But the only reason those people went for Bernie is because they didn't want Hillary. It wasn't a question of they love his policies, whatever. Yeah, some of the younger people, aging hippies, whatever, people my age who were, you know, at Woodstock and never quite left. But, you know, the reality was, it wasn't that Bernie was so popular. It was that she was so unpopular, and even controlling the news cycle, Chris, couldn't do anything about it. But let's go back to the censorship, corporate censorship happening all over the place. We'll probably get shadow banned as a result of this, because every time you post a video to YouTube, a transcript is automatically generated. Then some AI bot scans it and looks for things like Alex Jones, like Google is evil, Google is censoring, YouTube is censoring. It looks for all these terms, and then it acts accordingly. It shadow bans you, or worst comes to worst, it puts out a strike against you, and 2-3 strikes and you're out. Look what happened to Sean at SGT. Sean's a good friend. I don't necessarily agree with all of his theories, but a lot of them are pretty good, pretty spot on. He does first-class production values, and 3 strikes, he was out for like a week. They just erased 11 years worth of work on him. And he's a small player compared to an Alex Jones with 2 million subscribers. This is going to have ramifications. This is the battleground for the next presidential election. It combined with the so-called hacking of the election, electoral fraud. We got all these illegals signed up to vote, especially in California where they don't need them. And, you know, the it's so easy to check it out. I believe that Homeland Security is doing it as we speak. There's a lot coming out here. Hey, I don't remember if we talked about QAnon much in the past, but QAnon, one of the leading QAnon people, was a guest at the White House last weekend, I think on Friday or Saturday, and they asked him, did you talk about QAnon? And he said, no, we talked about a lot of things, but we never talked about QAnon. All right. Now, look, when president has a QAnon proponent as a special guest to the White House, what is that telling you here, Chris?
It might not be as countercultural as I first thought.
Hey, I'm inclined to believe that QAnon is real. I mean, 30 days ago, he said McCain had 30 days and down to the minute 28. And at exactly the same time that thing was posted at 6:28 Eastern time, 30 days to the exact time and minute, McCain died. Okay, so it was 4:28. I guess that would be Mountain Time because Arizona doesn't do daylight savings time. So they 2 hours behind or three now. It was a 2 hour time difference, and boom! Look what happened. Interesting, huh?
Mm-hmm. So, what do you make of that?
I love coincidences, but I don't believe in them. Mm. You know, so it certainly is possible. I don't like to say, oh, I'm all in. I like to remain cautious. But when you see little bits and pieces come out, and then you know that Trump loves to troll, you know, so what better way to get the elites to think that Sessions is a good for nothing idiot than to be blasting him on Twitter? And Sessions never responds, and he keeps smiling. It's a game here. It certainly could be a game, put it that way, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it could be. You know, who knows what's happening at this stage? I just know that everything is just rigged as much as possible. Nothing is left to chance. You know, listen, you know, if you couldn't understand what the Snowden releases were telling you all those years ago, it's probably no hope of really driving it in any deeper at this point. But, you know, what did we learn then? We learned that every computer is compromised, that there's no such thing as a digital audit trail you could now trust when it comes from the authorities, that any particular trail could be put in, that they consider information to be the most powerful weapon. They're absolutely right. So any particular news article, the comment sections can't be believed. We understand the corporations are in there busy doing stuff. Article just came out today in the San Francisco Gate about how, you know, Amazon has unleashed its little, you know, troll army to go out and explain how great it is to work for you know, Amazon, to counteract all those other articles coming out saying, hey, wait a minute, should we really be paying social, you know, entitlement, you know, goodies to, you know, his workers, blah, blah, blah. So listen, you know, if anything that you or I or anybody listening is reading, whether it's in a comment section, whether it's in any sort of print media, online or otherwise, you have to know that there's a script being run somewhere. Somebody's running a scam. And you should always know that from Randolph Hearst writing about, you know, trying to get us into a war back in the turn of the last century, you know, whatever it is, just understand information is power, and it's not left to chance anymore. It hasn't been for a long time.
Oh, yeah. You can't just leave it in the hands of the public. God only knows what they'll do. And
draw their own conclusions. That's bad. But that, you know, so to me, that's why it's interesting to see that, you know, I throw out this thing about a lack of election integrity and it's just chirping crickets on Facebook and Twitter. That tells me everything I need to know. These are not liberal, leftist, progressive bastions out there, you know, trying to get rid of Alex Jones and alt-right sort of points of view. That's the cover story. The real story is they're controlling the entire flow of information, which doesn't like to point out things like that the elites are really, you know, running off with the entire apple cart at this point in time. And the United States is a warmongering nation that really lacks a certain moral integrity because we're busy, you know, out there saying, do as we say, not as we do, you know, and it's just corporatism by any other name. So that's all. Twitter is not about this guy at Jack, and Facebook isn't about this guy called Zuckerberg. Please, if those two companies ran afoul of the deep state, they'd be out of business by next Tuesday. That's that.
Hey, Facebook is the deep state. You know that because it was LifeLog, and then they discontinued it the very same day in 2004 that Fakebook was founded. And look, like Zuckerberg, maybe he's a really talented programmer. I don't know. Maybe he's some kind of idiot savant, but he certainly does not look capable to me. There's just more to this story. And the same with Jack Dorsey. Same deal, you know? It's just very, very suspicious, the whole thing. And LifeLock, you know, it's a joke. It's a freaking joke. And that's why critical thinking, which you teach and you're a huge proponent of, as am I, is really the only thing that can save you and help keep you sane in an insane time where there appears to be no truth and no reality. And it's not all relativistic. There are facts, actual facts, and that you could take to the bank. And voter fraud, shadow banning, censorship on the internet is one of them. And look, when was the last time the government called you on the phone and asked you to do something and you said no? If you've been fortunate, never. But if it's happened to you, you don't say no. You know, they make you an offer you can't refuse. And that's what happens regularly. Anyways, that's it for today. peakprosperity.com. That's Chris's site. What's your YouTube channel? Where do we find you on YouTube, Chris?
ChrisMartinson.com. Just spell all of that out and you get right to the channel there. And on Facebook, it's just my name. You'll get there as well. And again, all we care about is the data. You know, we follow what the data says. And if it says something different, we'll change our minds. But right now, the data says this is these are pretty rigged situations going on right now.
Yeah. Hey, well, enjoy the rig, because when it's not rigged, that's when things are going to get really interesting. Just send us an email. I told you, make my day. I'm going to be soon. If you've listened to the show before, you know that I'm going to open up a studio. I am going to become a commercial squatter at a certain coffee chain. I'm going to put a sign up on the front door, and Financial Survival Network will go on the road. And I just want to see what they'll do. I'm willing to buy coffee, even tip the baristas, but let's see if they have the guts to throw me out. You know, I never tried commercial squatting before, Chris. What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. Worth trying out. So good luck with that. And congratulations on your move. I know that's hard work, hard business. So glad you're back in the saddle here.
Yeah, well, moving is like banging your head against the wall. It feels really good when you stop. And this is it. I intend to die here or whatever is going to happen to me. This is my final resting place for sure. Hey, so email kl@kerryletz.com. The Twitter feed is, for if you're listening, Jack, is @KerryLutz. The Facebook page for Mr. Zuckerberg is Financial Survival Network. Chris, we'll talk to you again next month. You be well.
Thank you. You too.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.